approximately 1 in every 59 children are born with autism. Albert Einstein.
Dr. Einstein had no speech until age 3. Steve Jobs. He was a loner. He brought snakes to school.
Leonardo da Vinci. This man was far advanced on the autism spectrum.
I'm not naughty. I'm autistic. And I just get too much information.
You're listening to Takiwatanga, Love Not Cure, Exploring Autism, One Strength at a Time.
All right. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, depending on the time that you have open up your mobile phone, your app, or something. Good morning, and I hope you are having a good day today. And thank you for listening. And in today's episode, I have decided to do a reflection or reflection across all the different episodes that I have done so far in the last 4 weeks. So we will be talking about my takeaway in those discussions. I know there are a lot of information to absorb, a lot of information that we need to be aware of, because these are information that can help or may help us in this autism journey in due time. I understand that a lot of parents have their own journey, when in a sense that every individual journey is different, but this information that we have gathered so far will help us navigate in those or in that journey. So this is just an idea that came up earlier with me that I have decided to maybe just start doing a reflection for every individual interviews or every interview that you will be doing. And in this case, because I haven't done any reflection in my past interviews, discussions with experts, I'll just do a one-time reflection on those 4 interviews. And then if there will be time, I'm just doing this as an excess time and doing this super early in the morning. So that I can just publish my takeaway with those interviews and start doing it as well. Doing it across as well. Let's see if I will be able to capture the information that I need to express today. I hope so. But again, keep note that, as I have mentioned earlier, every parent's carers have their own different journey in autism. But at the end of the day, we are here on the same boat, navigating through this journey, and all the information that we have captured so far from these experts will help us in due time. If we don't need them yet now, we may need them in the future, or someone we know might need them and we can just share the information to them, so it's going to help them in their navigation as well. Right. So let's start. In my first interview, I have had the chance to have a session with Dane from Autism NSAID. He did mention about their programs, and my key takeaway there is, or takeaway, because I got two, right? I know in our journey, this is the one that I feel like it will apply to me at this point in time, and if not at this point in time, in the future, right? So at least I have something in at the back of my head that when I needed one, or I need help or support, I should be able to uncover this and be able to utilize this support. First, I have this Autism Connect app. So it's an amazing app. And I have, I think this is a good community, and I'm actually looking at joining the community But in the past couple of weeks, because I've been trying to edit and publish contents, I actually, and in all honesty, forgot about this, and I already have captured my ID in a photo so I can apply to be part of that community. But anyway, this is a good community, I suppose, and I said I suppose because I'm not a part of that yet, so I'm looking at joining the community so at least I can connect with other parents, carers, and autistic people as well. So this is a secured app which we can use, and I think this is far more different with social media groups or communities where you can also connect with other parents with similar journey. But in this way, this is a secured app, and just have a more on connect with people who in a secured way. And then I feel like this app would help in terms of being able to get in touch with people, because if you're using, have you noticed that if you're using a social media app and then you're connecting with different groups, and then 1 hour after, you just figure out or realize that you got drowned in this news feed or in social media. So the support that you need or you are looking after tends to, you forget what you're after at that point in time, because you're now drowning with information from other posts from your friends or from other group members and so on. So in this way, the way I see it, if you have an app that is focused primarily on support like this, and it's different from social media, I think you can focus more on identifying what you really need and get the information that you need and connect directly to people without being drowned by this ocean of stuff. I don't know what you call that, but yeah, you get what I mean, right? So I think this will be a good tool to have. And then we have this support to parents or carers or person or people in the autism spectrum as well in transition to work. I think this is very important. I may not need this now, or I don't need this now because my child is only 5. But in the future, when he is about to start navigating or journeying life by himself, and also he will be starting to, contribute to society by doing or going to work on a day-to-day basis, so he can also start paying his own tax. So this is something that is going to be very, very useful for me. And at the moment, they are only offering this at their Auckland and Wellington office, which is frustrating for other parents. So I'm just doing that on a lighter version. A little frustrating for other parents, because what if your child is in Christchurch or somewhere else, especially in rural areas where they are now going to start transitioning to work? So what support are they gonna have? So if this is something that I think will be beneficial in my perspective, there should be enough funding for this. And at the moment, because they are a not-for-profit organization, Autism NZ is a not-for-profit organization, one challenge they have is funding. and they are still looking at being able to provide this support across the country, but they are being held back by funding. So it's a bit of, you know, super challenging to do this without further support. But I hope that this will eventually become a nationwide support that they can provide. Crossing my fingers, and this, because this will help a lot. I mean, there is too many autistic people around or across the world, and too many autistic people across the country as well here in Aotearoa. So if we can have this same kind of support across the country, then it would be great. Right, so those are my two focus areas for Autism NZ. Now, going to Autism Clinic with Hannah and Jess from Victoria University, they talked about ESDM, Early Start Denver Model. And in this area, I also missed the boat here because Early Start Denver Model is only being offered from 12 months to around, I think that's 48 months, 3 years old. So it could have been a good opportunity for me and my son to leverage on this area. But yeah, we missed the boat on this one as well, but it is not the end of the world. So I am just wanting to share this as well, because this will be very useful or very helpful for other parents who are just starting out with their journey. So usually this ESDM is being offered in their Wellington office, and also the only challenge there is they also have a waiting list because they are the only ones, I think, who's offering this service. But on a positive note as well, they're looking at hopefully expanding that once they get appropriate funding. So it boils down again to funding. And they are being funded under the school and with other donors and things like that. But at the end of the day, they're just a small team who needs, who in my view, they should start expanding as well, because they are, the way they are doing things, they're backing it with data. Which means if it's not working or it's not going to work, then, I mean, in terms of the programs that they are, or the program that they are doing, if it's not going to work to your family, then they will think of other areas as well that will work. So I feel like this is a good model that you can apply for your child. And then one thing that came out as well during that discussion, I know we didn't dwell on that one in the last discussion, but it hit me, and this is the one. if only I can share just one takeaway, this is it for me as a parent. So they mentioned about the AS Detect app, and this is an app wherein a parent can use this app in order to assess or see or detect any autistic behavior in a child. This only works, this tool is only apply, or they've just tested the tool. This is a global tool, but actually they have tested this across children age 11 to 30 months, and it has an 83% accuracy, which is high. This is a high bar for a parent to use this tool and be able to detect autism traits or behaviors by just using this tool. 83%. Success factor. This is me personally. My success factor is only 50%, and this is 83%. We're talking about 83% success factor, plus the one using the tool is a parent. So this is going to be a very, very helpful tool so that you can assess if your child is autistic or not. And then once you have determined that, you have, let's say, the result is a positive result, you can start looking at or bringing your child to your doctor so they can get the formal diagnosis or assessment. So, which is very, very positive for me as well. But yeah, this is the AS Detect, and this is only, I mean, it is still not going to be used in a sense across New Zealand, because this needs to be, it needs to have a trial as well, so we can test the tool if it's going to be effective in a New Zealand setting. But this is a good start for parents who are suspecting that their child there might be in the autism spectrum. All right, the next one is HVRD. So Bronwyn from HVRD is also an amazing person, like the rest of the guys and gals that I have interviewed in this space. She showed me her facility here in Hutt Valley. How do you pronounce it? Hutt Valley. So she showed me their facility here. Amazing facility. And I was able to meet Willow and Beauty. If you don't know Willow and Beauty, this is the horse or the horses. That they are just a couple of horses that I met. They have, I think, 10, 11 horses. And Willow and Beauty are the ones that I met. I took a photo of them so that I can put some good social media content up with Bronwyn. And yeah, in HVRD, they are providing support programs and programs as well for the wider disabled community, which is amazing. They're supporting, they've been there supporting the disabled community around Hutt Valley since, how long was that? 40 years? For over 40 years now, I think. So amazing. I get to see how they do their programs. I get to see some riders. When you talk about riders, these are the disabled kids who are in their programs. So amazing. And she also did mention about how effective their programs are. And for those who haven't noticed and who haven't heard my past episode or episodes, I did talk about this horse boy. This is a book that I read about Rowan and the journey in autism. I did talk about the horse boy, and this is the book that I've read recently. That's why I got the curiosity to visit the Hutt Valley Riding for the Disabled community in Upper Hutt. So I got curious about the programs that they have. I signed up my son, and going back to the book that I've read, which made me curious about horses and how the horses or the horse therapy, I think they call it equine therapy, helped in improving the condition of a child, not just on the autism spectrum, but the child, if they have disability, their condition can be improved as well, can help improve, may help improve, whatever the term that we need to use here, can improve as well. And to just get your child outside of house or outside of your house and ride a horse would be an amazing journey. But they have an assessment before you can join the program. So they need to make sure and check that your child, disabled child, is or can ride a horse. And you will need to ask for clinician as well to approve that, so that to make sure on a safety perspective your child can ride a horse without any potential accidents or something like that. So yeah, the only problem that I've that I have noticed, just like everything or every programs, is the waiting list or the waiting time. So I guess this is going to boil down to funding, and which makes sense, because in maintaining the maintaining the program, the RDAs, you will need to maintain the horses, you will need to maintain the facilities, your volunteers who are amazing as well in supporting the community, you will need to maintain the maintain the facility. I did mention that, right? So you need to maintain the facility and all those things. And at the end of the day, if you don't have enough funding, you won't be able to supply or provide the service or services to more people. So, which is a little, now it's starting to get into that frustration, because a lot of the programs that they have can help these people who needs support. And here we are yet again, we are being limited by what we can do because we couldn't find the right amount of funding. So yeah, if you're listening to this and you think you feel like you have an extra amount in your pocket, so you can just, or feel free to donate that to the cause or causes of these organizations. And I think it will mean a lot to those people who are in need of those support. All right, so let me just breathe first. All right, next one. This is the recent one that I've had for our episodes or past episodes. So I did get a chance to meet the Minister of the Disability. And this is a newly formed ministry for the disabled. And I did get a chance to meet the minister, Minister Poto Williams, and I was able to get some information that I needed, perhaps in navigating the journey of autism. So what is the main highlight of that interview is, I'm not gonna discuss the details, I'm just gonna talk about the main highlight. And if you want to know more, please listen across all the episodes that I've had from Autism NZ, HVRD, Autism Clinic from Victoria University, and yeah, the most recent one, which is the episode 24. So the main highlight is I was able to get some information about the accessibility legislation, which is going to be, or they will start to run this through with the parliament, and might take a bit of some time before it gets published, or what you call that? I'm not familiar with the terminologies they use in legislations, but it needs 1 year for processing. That's it. So in layman's term, they need to review the legislation in the parliament, and that may take about a year in implementation, plus implementation. So yeah, but I'm very, very much keen to see how that would turn up. And given that election will be happening next year, and 1 year will be starting this year, what will happen if there will be change in seats? How this will be done? How will this be looked at? So those are the questions that just came. And with all understanding in place, right? They just set up the organization this July, last July. It's now August. So last July. So to be fair, and they're still setting up all the things that they need to set up in their office. But yeah, it will be a very interesting thing to see and check at that point in time. So the next one will be, I did mention about this. I asked about the long-term goal that they have in within the ministry. So this is this has struck me when I heard about the long-term goal, wherein they wanted more people with disability at the parliament. So not just, I think not just at the parliament, but in general point of view, more people on leadership role. Now, I did mention to the minister that this is a good long-term goal, which is I am very, very 100% into that goal. But the problem is, I did mention that we need to address the fundamental needs of these kids, right? How can we meet that goal 20 years from now, fast forward? How can we meet that goal if the fundamental needs of these kids are not met, right? What are the fundamental needs of these kids? Health, education, very important, food on the table. And yeah, I'm getting emotional in this part because, you know, it is so. I'm not going to continue what I'm about to say. But yeah, the long-term goal is amazing in my perspective. Of course, who don't want their child to succeed 20 years from now, right? And if they will be in a leadership role, that is more amazing. My goal for my son is only going to have my goal is only for my son to achieve for now, right? For now. I'm not saying I don't have high hopes and dreams for him, but my goal is for him to get the skills doing the daily living activities, to acquire the skills he needs to be able to go to the grocery, the skills he need to go to the bus stop, right? And ride a bus. The skills he need socially, the skills he need to be able to withdraw money from ATM. Basic living activities, education, being with peers, right? Being able to go to school and without parents worrying about their kids at school, without parents worrying about the environments at school, right? Those are basic daily living activities. Now, if we are not going to focus on that in these kids, with these kids, then how can we put people, more people with disability in leadership? And we're not just talking about kids with autism. We're talking about the wider disability. I feel I'm not very much exposed with the rest of the disability community, how they are feeling, how the services and so on and so forth. But I feel like the journey is somewhat the same with them when they are navigating this education, health, and so on. So yeah, it will be an interesting topic or interesting area for me to consider being mindful and being watchful of what will happen 20 years from now, 10 years from now, if we are not meeting the foundational needs of these kids. So talking about education, I did mention about ORS as well, which is funding, education, again, long-term goal of having more leadership in parliament or at the parliament. And still, kids are kids are competing in this funding. I don't know, for whatever reason, they have to compete, even though they have high needs and they still need to compete with ORS. So it'll be interesting to see how this play out. And then I did mention about long waiting times to get their kids assessed or diagnosed, which is, in my view, fair enough to say as well on that point in this interview, because again, this is addressing the foundational needs. If you are not going to be assessed or get the assessment you need, the right assessment you need in time, you will miss the boat. Like early intervention works. I did mention that. Early intervention works, but given the long waiting time, now you are missing the boat for these kids. And it is a little, not little, but it is sad to see these kids miss the boat. How many times did I say miss the boat? Many times, because it happens many times and over again, just different phases. So yeah, I'm getting emotional about that area, but yeah, it's an amazing journey or discussion with the minister, and hopefully they will listen to the calls of these parents, especially in getting the right support for the kids. Because at the end of the day, it's not for the parents, it's for this autistic kids and disabled community as well. That's very, very tough discussion. Right. Now I'm catching my breath. I told you I'm getting emotional when the topic is about education and stuff like that. Because of first-hand experience of having a child with high needs, but still didn't get the funding. So if they will tell me, you're getting too personal. Yes, it is personal. It is my child's education. And I feel like someone is taking my child's education away from him because you didn't get the funding and you didn't get the right support. And here we are trying to advertise that early intervention works. The earlier, the better. If you get the signs of autism for your child, you bring them to the doctor so they can get diagnosed. But yeah, that's great. But what happens after that? You have this long waiting list, long queues, and you will apply for something. And this is a very, very challenging area to navigate. But I will move away a little bit from that topic. I'm getting emotional again. So yeah, there you go. I put my pen and paper on the side, so I'll stop talking about it, because to be fair, with the new ministry, they are just starting out. And like I said, I will be interested in the succeeding steps that they will take, not just with the accessibility legislation, because there's still a lot of things that needs to be worked on across the different ministries that will help and support these kids. And I hope that I will be able to go back at some point and speak to the Ministry of the Disabled and perhaps talking about the success or the different success that they've had with supporting the autistic kids, rather than me going there and telling them about my kind of frustrations. But yeah, let's see how far that will go. All right. I guess that's it, and I have consumed a lot of my energy for the day being so emotional and being so, you know, I'm running out of my English terminologies and English words, and now I might start speaking in Filipino because of that. But anyway, I hope you did enjoy that, and those are just my reflection, and I would love to talk more about the different programs of Autism NSAID, Autism Connect, or about Autism Clinic and HBRD and other stuff, because I feel like every reflection should be once every episode. This is just my perspective. Every interview, once every after an interview, so at least I can gather more or give you more value than being a little too emotional. All right, I'm not gonna be editing this podcast, so you will be hearing a lot of ands, fillers and stuff like that, but I don't have time to edit now. I'll just try to see that you are able to get the most out of my episode for the day. Okay, I guess that's it, And I will see you on my next episode, which is going to be an interesting story that I will be publishing after this, or maybe the week after. Who knows when I can start editing another video, which takes time, by the way. Not that I'm complaining, I'm just saying that I am trying not to miss any episodes, but usually it takes time to edit. That's why I cannot publish. I cannot publish something about some stories and stuff if I don't get it right in terms of editing, especially the voice and audio and stuff like that. Okay, I'm starting to talk stuff that is no longer relevant, editing videos about or editing audio. So I leave it here and I will talk to you again soon. And hopefully you did find some value out of this episode. Thanks for your time and I'll see you again soon.
Every tangata fight takiwatanga is different. If you fail with one strategy, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Always remember that for every failure you encounter is one step closer to your success. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Memuto te fakawa haire. Let's stop judging others. Memahi tahi tato. Let's all work together. Kia maya, kia kaha, be brave and be strong. Thank you.